Angelina Jolie's revelation about her choice to have a double mastectomy shocked many women and men into considering their own DNA and whether they, too, might carry the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutations. Both can significantly increase the chance of breast cancer, but they aren't the only factors. Still, being forewarned of the possibility can offer options. Also, it brings a hefty cost to find out. Hawaii Permanente Medical Group surgeon and American Cancer Society Hawaii Pacific president Daryl Kurosawa joins us by phone with a few of the other facts. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Good morning.
This is a very scary thing to talk about in any sort of way, but in talking about it and demystifying some of the cancer rates that we talk about, particularly with breast cancer, at least in a way we know what we're up against. The most recent example that we've had this week of Angelina Jolie's discussion of her own case in the New York Times op-ed piece was quite extreme. I mean, not everybody is at that point, and that's, I think, a significant point for us to remember.
Yes, I agree. So if you look at Angelina Jolie's case, it is an extreme case. And for most women, their risk of breast cancer is just about 12% in their lifetime. And so there's a small group of women who may be at higher risk and who may need genetic testing, and there's ways to get that done. I think there's several options. The first recommendation would be for them to see the primary care physician to talk about their risk factors. Usually a family history is the most important. And those who actually have high risk are sent to a genetic counselor to talk about really the evaluation discussion and benefits and risks and benefits of having genetic testing.
The genetic testing is fairly simple and straightforward. It's a blood test, but it comes with a pretty high price tag. And trying to evaluate whether you need it or you don't need it, what advice would you give?
So I would normally we tell patients if they're worried about their risk, there's a lot of criteria you can use with family history. So it's important to sit and talk to the physician, evaluate all the risk factors, which is basically family history of breast cancer. Some of it's personal, mostly first-degree, second-degree relatives. And so those are the patients that end up seeing the genetic counselors and having really recommendations to or not to test.
But specifically trying to find out how many of your direct family relatives have breast cancer and not necessarily other cancers.
Yes. So the two cancers to be worried about with this is ovarian and breast cancer. So generally, if you have at least two or three family members with breast cancer or ovarian cancer, you probably should talk to your physician to get advice on whether you need counseling and testing.
When we were talking last week about prostate cancer, and one of the things that came out of that conversation is that the time that you spend with your doctor to discuss family history, and when you're asked those questions and you have to fill out forms, maybe more forms than you'd like, but that is really important information. It's not fluffy. And it's what may predicate whether or not a certain test may be called for or indicated or not. Specifically, when you talk to families and women who are looking at this, because it's not just, I mean, we should say this is not just about women. Men, too, can get breast cancer.
Yes, men do. It's a small number, but men can have breast cancer also.
So when you're talking to families and taking these family histories, and then someone appears to be a likely candidate for screening, we know that screening comes with a cost of about $3,000 now. That's not necessarily paid for by insurance, is it?
So the insurance is really a interesting, it's a challenge actually for all of us. I tell all of our patients to actually talk to your insurance provider. Every insurance is a little bit different. We know that going forward in 2014 with health care reform, there is a mandate going forward with new health plans to cover that, but there's a lot of grandfathered plans that will carry over, so it's really important for the patient to talk to their physician and help them talk to their insurance provider to see whether it's covered or not.
Because your program may, in fact, change.
The program may change, and if it's a new program, there's some federal guidelines that will come into play in 2014. So there's so much transition going on. It's really important to check with insurance to see what is covered and what is not covered.
We've talked to other insurers, and they're all saying the same thing, that there are a lot of unknowns, and just because you have it now, you may not have it later. If, in fact, you do have coverage for it now, and you're at all concerned about having the testing done, now would be the best time, wouldn't it?
Well, if you have coverage, no, actually, if the healthcare reform federal recommendations in 14 will actually have all new health plans offering coverage for the genetic testing.
But if you have a plan now that's grandfathered into that and it doesn't cover it, then wouldn't it be a good idea while you know you have coverage to get it?
Well, I think whichever plan you have, I think it's important to, first of all, determine whether you need the test or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, presuming that you actually need to have the test, that would be something you discuss with your doctor, but not to wait or not to somehow talk yourself out of it if it seems like it's indicated.
Yes. So I think it's important to work with your physician to determine, and it becomes a personal decision, do you do it now or later? It factors into what the insurance company is, what your coverage is. So it's a very difficult answer for everyone across the board. We know that each insurance plan will be different. Each plan has different plans within each company. So it's important to work with the insurance company to just ask the question to see whether it's covered or not.
In part, we talk about getting this test as if it's somehow a panacea, that if you know that you carry the BRCA1 or 2, that, yes, you do have a higher incidence perhaps of having breast cancer, but it's not necessarily a sentence that you will get breast cancer. How do you determine who's in the middle?
Yes, so the important thing, if you were tested and you test positive for the BRCA gene mutation, it's important to know that it's not 100%. So the national numbers is about 60% on average. Now, Angelina Jolie had an 87% risk of cancer, which is very high. So if you look at, there's probably a range between the mid-30s to the 70% range for most patients. So to your point, if someone were tested positive for this, there is a chance that you may not develop breast cancer. So not every patient will develop breast cancer.
I mean, we don't mean to pass judgment, say it's a sentence of some sort. But for the actual false positive issue, can you speak to that a little bit? Because we know that happens.
Well, I don't, whether there's false positive or negatives, it depends. It's a testing issue, and I think that's something the genetic counselors can probably answer more clearly. If you say someone is positive and doesn't develop breast cancer, it's hard to make the relation whether it's a false positive or not, because we know that some patients with the gene will not develop breast cancer. Right? So it just means that they didn't progress to a cancer state.
But then the flip side of it, with a false negative, that can happen too.
Yeah, I would rely on the genetic counselors to give us the numbers and what their tests would be for the false positive negative.
But the point that I'm trying to get to is that nothing is categorical, and you have to really look at it and discuss it and be able to assess and analyze it to make a decision going forward. It's not something that you can do in a snap judgment.
Yeah, you're totally right. So that's what's really important in the process. You know, we always recommend primary care physician involvement, genetic counselor involvement through the whole process, because they can sit with you and talk about all the issues you're asking about, the positive and negative issues, what to do next. And that's the hardest decision for them. If you test positive, what do you do next? So that's one challenge for a patient with that situation.
Which, again, goes right back to the point of you've got to have a good relationship with a doctor that you trust. And if you don't have one now, you need to find one. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Kurosawa.
Thank you.
Dr. Daryl Kurosawa is Associate Medical Director in charge of care delivery for the Neighbor Islands with the Hawaii Permanente Medical Group, based in his hometown of Kailua Kona. He's also board president of the American Cancer Society, Hawaii Pacific. He graduated from the Georgetown University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., where we reached him this morning.
I wanna make this play. Oh, I know your face.